Well, we're in 1 Samuel chapter 4, and let's pray. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1. And when Ishbosheth, Saul's son, heard that Abner was dead in Hebron, his hands were feeble, and all the Israelites were troubled. Ishbosheth was a spiritual and moral weakling. The only thing that kept his kingdom together was Abner, the now deceased military leader. And that's why the population is panicked. There is a power vacuum in the north. No one is driving, and it is panic time for the people. 2. And Ishbosheth, Saul's son, had two men who were captains of bands. The name of the one was Bana, and the name of the other, Rechab, the sons of Rimmon, a Beerothite, of the children of Benjamin, for Beeroth also was reckoned to Benjamin. And the Beerothites fled to Githim and were sojourners there until this day. So these two northern men know that there is a power vacuum, and they plan on filling it. The king is weak. The people are in a panic, and they're going to make a move for control. Guys like that pick up on people's weaknesses, and they're slick enough to offer them a form of stability. But it's all about them. They take advantage of people in their desperation. Verse 4, and Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. This little guy's nurse meant well, but it looks as if she may have dropped him, and he had a permanent injury as a result. Sometimes our accidents cause trouble for others. But if it was not done on purpose, we should not condemn ourselves. God does not condemn us for accidents, and we should not condemn ourselves. And that is why God provided cities of refuge in the Old Testament for those who accidentally caused the death of someone else. 5. And the sons of Rimmon, the Beerothite, Rechab and Benath, went and came out about the heat of the day to the house of Ishbosheth, who lay on a bed at noon. These two brothers knew exactly what they were doing. They arrived at the hottest time of the day, when they knew the king would be taking his nap. They knew their enemy, and that would help them defeat him. And the reason Satan has so much success in getting people to sin is that he knows his enemies. He knows what buttons to push in an individual's life to get them to sin. He knows what you're drawn to. And the only way those buttons do not work is if people are walking in the Spirit. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's how you resist the devil. And then the Bible says he'll flee. I'm not going to waste his time if you're walking in the Spirit. 6, and they came there into the midst of the house as though they would have fetched wheat. And they smote him under the fifth rib, and Rechab and Baana his brother escaped. No one suspected anything was wrong when these commanders went into the inner park of the king's house to get wheat for their men, but they used the wheat as a deception to get to the king and kill him. The nature of a deception is that it sounds good. And that's why Jesus said, "Watch out that no one deceive you. Watch out that no one deceive you." The best thing we can do is stay close to God and be on alert for things that people say or do that just don't quite make sense. Stay close to God. Ask Him to fill you with His Holy Spirit, and then beware of anything that just doesn't make sense to you, just doesn't quite add up for some reason, even if you don't know why. Pay attention to those thoughts. 7. For when they came into the house, he lay on his bed in his bedchamber, and they smote him and slew him and beheaded him and took his head and went away through the Arabah all night. They gained access through deceit, and they got away in the darkness. Notice how they used deceit and darkness. Why did they use deceit and darkness? Because what they did was evil. And they knew it. If a person has to use deceit, then what they're doing is not of God. Example, cults. Cults do this all the time. They try to lure nominal Christians into their groups by using the same vocabulary as Orthodox Christianity. They use the same vocabulary, but they have a different dictionary, and they know it. Verse 8, and they brought the head of Ishbosheth unto David to Hebron, and said to the king, "Behold, the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, thine enemy, who sought thy life, and the Lord hath avenged my lord the king this day of Saul and of his seed." And notice how these two men piously sprinkle the name of God upon their cold-blooded murder. But a godly person like David sees right through that kind of spiritual nonsense. Godly people are impressed by holiness, not pious words. They're not impressed when some moral reprobate sprinkles a little God or a little the Lord into their conversation. Verse 9, and David answered Rechab and Baana, his brother, the sons of Rimmon, the Beerothite, and said unto them, "As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my soul out of all adversity." And so David is going to make it clear that he didn't want any of their sinful favors. He didn't need it. He didn't want it. David says, "God has delivered me out of all my troubles." God didn't need the help of cold-blooded killers to deliver David. That's the first message that he sends to them. God has delivered David from his troubles as David has walked with him and waited patiently for the Lord to move. And that's something for us to remember. Christians have God. Christians have Jesus, the Son of God. They do not need to seek help from those who sin in order to so-called help. We do not need it. and we should not want it. Verse 10, when one told me, saying, behold, Saul is dead, thinking to have brought good tidings, I took hold of him and slew him in Ziklag. Who thought that I would have given him a reward for his tidings? The man who told David that he had killed King Saul and thought he would earn a reward was wrong. Instead, David executing him for killing the Lord's anointed. Saul wasn't a good man, but it was wrong to execute the Lord's anointed. Verse 11. How much more, when wicked men have slain a righteous person in his own house upon his bed, shall I not therefore now require his blood of your hand and take you away from the earth? Instead of a reward, these two men have just gotten a death sentence. They were evil men, guilty of murder, and David, whose head could never be turned by flattery or by favors done in an ungodly way, is holding them accountable. Chapter 12. And David commanded his young men, and they slew them, and cut off their hands and their feet, and hanged them up over the pool in Hebron. But they took the head of Ish-bosheth and buried it in the sepulcher of Abner in Hebron. People who were convicted of treason back in those days were executed, mutilated, and put on public display. It worked pretty well to deter future criminals. Chapter 5. Then came all the tribes of Israel unto Hebron to speak to David, and spoke, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. The northern tribes of Israel have lost their king and their commanding officer. They have no one to lead. And if they don't do something very quickly, that northern kingdom will probably splinter into several little pieces, or else be conquered by the Philistines or some outside group. And that's why they call on David to be their king. 2. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou was he who led out and brought in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people, Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. You know, a leader will lead, whether he's an official leader or not. And that's what David has been doing, even while Saul was still king. A person cannot read a book and learn 10 principles of leadership and magically be a leader. It doesn't work that way. Get filled with the Holy Spirit and walk in the will of God. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak and live the word of God with boldness. Those who are called to follow will follow. Those who are not will not, but you will still lead by example. 3. So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel. And so David would swear to lead under the lordship of Almighty God. The people agreed to the terms of God's law. And that is what is meant by they made this agreement before the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. As long as David and the people keep a God focus, they would experience God's blessing. And in order for any relationship to experience God's best, all involved need to keep a God focused. Because the moment that focus is broken, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be strife.